Time to bring in someone who I always consider one of the best sports writers in the country and really a sports philosopher these days. He's a TV star as well for ESPN, and that is Howard Bryant. Howard, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Marty. How are you doing?
Oh, we're doing fine. I appreciate you being on. You're on your way to the U.S. Open, I understand.
I am. A little bit of tennis, but I know the Yanks are in town this weekend as well, so I'm going to go over to the stadium as well if I can get a little time in tomorrow before the tournament starts.
Howard, you know, you and I have been down the stretch before when you were out here covering the A's as a beat writer. There's something about down the stretch baseball that this is when the stories are made. This is when the MVPs stand up. Are we at that point now, or do we have to wait till September?
Well, I think it depends on the race. I think that the one thing that baseball has done is because you've got a second wild card, August isn't anywhere near as important as September is now. Usually, this is about the time, this is the period that I always refer to as separation time. And now I think it applies more for the division races, for the division winners, for those teams that really have that sort of championship kick in them, and the teams that know they need to get into gear if they want to even have a chance to make September important. Obviously, with the A's, the Angels, huge weekend. Obviously, you've got the Giants winning last night. You've got the Dodgers winning a few in a row as well. So nobody can afford to start losing right now. I really do feel like this is my favorite time of the year of the entire sports calendar, because this is when you start finding, in baseball more than any other sport, you'll find out whether you're a 100-game team or whether you're 140-game or whether you're built for the whole thing.
Boy, well said. No, I agree with you. I love it. I think it almost gets to the point of each day is a separate season. And if you lose one, you just put it behind you and say, let's win tomorrow and get it going. I always love this part.
Well, and also if you don't, I mean, let's remember one of my all-time and even San Francisco, I know that it didn't end well, but it's one of the greatest pennant races of all time. Let's not forget, you know, that big series in 93 when they come back and they get the big win against the Braves. And then you're thinking things are going to roll right, and then you lose eight straight at home to, I think it was the Cubs and the Cardinals. And it's like, oh, no. So it's not just, okay, let's flush it. You got to get those wins because you never know which one of those games you should have had is going to spiral you in the wrong direction, and which one of those games you should have lost that you end up winning put you on a streak.
Boy, that was the year of Fred McGriff coming over to Atlanta.
Oh, yeah.
Fred McGriff, a Hall of Famer for you?
Thanks a lot, Tom Werner. Fred McGriff, I think Fred McGriff is going to get the Jim Rice treatment in that over time, because of the inflation of the numbers, people are going to look back at him more and more fondly. I don't know if he's got what it takes to get there. I love his RBI numbers. For me, I didn't think he was a Hall of Famer simply because I didn't remember. Was there ever a time when Fred McGriff was the best player at his position, never mind the best player on his team, but just for consistency and longevity, he was a solid, consistent performer, and there's value in that, too.
Well, you know, it makes me think a little bit. People talk about Hall of Famers, and, you know, the numbers are changing. I think even for home run hitters, it may change as we get through it. David Ortiz, Hall of Famer, David Ortiz, he's getting close to 500.
Yeah, I mean, I think David's going to have a tough time being kept out of it simply because it's not just the numbers that are changing, but it's the attitude.
Yeah.
We live in a very celebratory time in the game, and I think that for the longest period, and I think maybe for virtually all of baseball's Hall of Fame history, the default was no. You had to prove that you were a Hall of Famer, and I think it's actually changed both with the strike and with the rise in analytics. I think that the default is yes. I think that people say you have to prove that he's not a Hall of Famer, and I think that when you have that sort of default setting being okay, we're giving people more of the benefit of the doubt. And let's also remember something else, that David Ortiz definitely hits one of my very important categories, which is, did he have that 5-6-year streak where he was the baddest guy in the batter's box and you did not want to face him under any circumstances? That's an absolute yes. Obviously, the PED question is going to pound everybody. But when you're thinking about a guy when it was on the line, when the leads were changing, did he come through? There's no question that David Ortiz was in a very, very select company of players.
Yeah, one of the greatest hitters ever in World Series history, and that means something for me. Howard Bryant with us from ESPN. Red Sox went out and broke my heart yesterday. I wanted the Giants to get this Ruzny Castillo. I thought, boy, yeah, spend the money, get him. You're in a division with the Dodgers. You got to step up and spend the money. The Red Sox went and got him. I commend the Red Sox for him. You know anything about this kid?
No, nothing at all. I mean, he's not even a kid. He's 27.
Yeah, that's right. Looks like Kirby Puckett, think, kind of.
Exactly. Maybe it was part of their strategy. You get Cespedes, and that's going to allow you to make the deal, too, to give him some comfort. So now you've got two guys, you know, from Cuba who know each other, and hopefully they get along, and maybe that's going to provide some of the power that they have lacked all season. And now you've got him and Ortiz and Cespedes, and maybe you can start putting some numbers on the board because that team has been brutal in terms of run production.
Yeah, boy, I was hoping the Giants. And I guess they were in it to the end, but I don't know. I think you gotta take a chance, and that was one for me. Bud Selig is gone. Does he do a la Richard Nixon or Gerald Ford or Bill Clinton and pardon Pete Rose as he leaves in January?
No,
no way.
No,
huh?
I don't see
no
it.
Way.
I don't see it happen. I don't see it happening. And the reason why I don't see it happening is because I don't believe that there's a great deal of. I don't believe there's a great deal of energy behind it. I mean, I know that a lot of fans who are always Pete supporters say yes. But I think where baseball is right now, I don't know if there's any real reason for them to feel like they need to do this. I feel like, obviously, if there was a reason to do it, then I think it would be sort of a parry to where the PED issue is, where A-Rod is and all of that. But let's face it, if you let Pete in the door, then all of a sudden you're going to have to really rethink how people view Alex Rodriguez and such. And I think baseball wants that continuity as well. They've made a decision. It's a 100-year decision so far that gambling is the worst possible offense. I don't feel like that has necessarily held over time, but they've held that line, and I don't see them changing.
Well, boy, interesting. What's the biggest challenge facing Rob Manfred here as he takes over? Ice bucket challenge or something else?
No, I think it's copying the Giants. I think it's trying to find a way. I'm serious, Marty. I think it's finding a way to get that demographic down. The average age of a baseball fan watching the postseason is 58 years old, 55 years old, somewhere in there. And you've got to get younger. I mean, look at the players that you have in this sport right now. You've got Mike Trout. You've got McCutcheon. You've got Puig and Cespedes and a lot of these guys who are out there who are really, really good players. And you've got Bryce Harper. And yet, none of those guys have the traction of an Aaron Rodgers or a LeBron or any of those players. And baseball is really lacking right now. And when I say copy the Giants, I mean that the one thing the Giants have done very successfully is that they're not just a good team. They don't just have a good stadium. They have name recognition in the community for their players. And baseball, when you go into that ballpark, people relate to Sandoval. People relate. They relate to Buster Posey. They relate to Tim Lincecum. They relate to these guys generationally. And baseball does not really have that on a national level. They haven't really had that on a national level since Ken Griffey Jr. You can blame the steroids for it. You can blame some analytics for it. You can blame a lot of things for it. You can blame the fact that 10-year-olds are asleep in the fifth inning of a World Series game because they've given away the sport to night baseball and television. But you've got to do something to make these stars resonate across the country. You're going to lose generations.
But that, I'm going to say this. Doesn't the game sell itself, the story? And as you have your 10-year-old son, you're telling him Red Sox stories, even though he may be looking at soccer and tennis. Aren't you telling, don't you think so?
No, he's got to see it. You got to see it. When you were a kid, what did it for you? You know, what made it exciting for you? When I was a kid growing up, I loved baseball, but what sold it for me was the excitement of watching This Week in Baseball and the excitement of seeing some of the action that was on the field. I mean, obviously the stories are terrific. Obviously, Mike Trout's a terrific baseball player. Obviously, you've got stars out there, but that's not enough. When you look at what kids are watching and how they're watching it, you know, look at those Nike commercials with Bo Jackson or the LeBron commercial. I mean, you've got to sell this thing, and you got to sell it in a way now that's even more direct than ever before, because you got a gazillion channels. Not everybody's watching the same thing. You got to pull those people in, and you got to bring them to the forefront. And one of the things that baseball is very upset about is the fact that it takes 13, 14 minutes for them to even get any traction on SportsCenter. I mean, where are the eyeballs? What are people looking at? What makes it exciting? And what draws them in? And once they're drawn in, yeah, I think the game will sell itself. But you need something to make people look.
All right, beautiful. No, I love having you on. Howard Bryan, ESPN. Monet Davis this week. I love this story. I watched the game.
Speaking of which, look at what we're talking about. You're getting somebody to pay attention. All eyes were on this young lady, and you got the highest ratings you've ever had for the Little League World Series, and you had some fruit come up the tree from the baseball RBI program. You had two African-American teams competing. This is what you need. That's not the game selling itself. You had baseball actually make an investment and look at starting to pay off. You make an investment to give people the belief that they can play. So you've got this young lady out there on the cover of Sports Illustrated. You say that you're going to invest in getting young African-Americans to start playing the game again. And, gee, lo and behold, you get two teams in here playing. You have to put the time in and do the hard miles, and you get something out of it. And it's been an incredible week.
Yeah, it has been. Hey, I love talking with you. I'm looking forward to seeing you in September when the Giants win their 89th game, so you buy us dinner. I'm looking forward.
So I can buy you dinner. Where are we going? Boulevard? We'll go to Boulevard.
All right. Wherever you want to go, that's it. But I'm looking. Believe me, we all are looking forward to it.
Well, I will definitely be out there. I mean, little Giants A's action. I'm totally into that. I'd love to see a little Bay Bridge World Series.
It could be. Look, it could be. That could be. Angels Dodgers can happen. You know, anything. You know, this
all
is kind
California,
of
I'll take that.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting. Howard, thank you so much. Enjoy the week. I know you're going to cover tennis, and I thank you for taking the time to join us.
My pleasure, Marty, as always.
All right, thank you. Boy, that's Howard Bryan of ESPN. More coming up right here on the Sports Leader.